to continue in our journey, if you will, in our preparation for spiritual warfare, spiritual terrorism, as I call it, in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. I was thinking about it, this whole warfare, this whole battle thing, and I found some military words of wisdom. I know a lot of our military guys could probably identify with this, but here's some military words of wisdom that would be beneficial. The first word is this: if the enemy is in range, so are you. Think about it. If the enemy is in range, so are you, right? We need to understand that in spiritual warfare, all of us are within range. None of us are out of range of the enemy, right? Second is, the enemy invariably attacks on one of two occasions. They either attack when you're ready or when you're not. That's wisdom right there now, isn't it? That's just some real wisdom, right? And then the third is this: don't draw fire from the enemy. It irritates the people around you. Don't do things that just entices the enemy to attack. It irritates those people around you, right? Some of you are fighting some battles, spiritual battles, because someone else has done something that's drawn you into the fight. You are in the ripple effect of that, right? Lastly is, make it tough for the enemy to get in and for you to get out. Man, when we insulate ourselves in Christ Jesus, we make it hard for the enemy to get in. And it makes it hard for us to get out, right? These are truths that we need to hang on to. I had the privilege of pastoring for a number of years down in the Hattiesburg area. And one of the things that Hattiesburg is known for is Camp Shelby. Any of our military guys ever go? You ever go through Camp Shelby? Anybody? All right, a couple of guys. Yeah, several of these guys went through training at Camp Shelby. Camp Shelby is a fascinating place. Most of our troops that have come out of Mississippi and other places train there before they go overseas. But it's also the training ground for the Abrams M1 tank. It's one of the most powerful tanks that's ever been developed. Most powerful tanks in the world. I've had the privilege of crawling all over one of those things and being inside it, and then actually watching some field demonstrations of it. It's armed with a 50 caliber Browning M2 heavy barrel machine gun. It's called the Maldus. And one of the things that was most impressive to me in the field demonstration was that this Abrams tank could travel at the speed of 60 miles an hour. And at 60 miles an hour, they would lock in on a target. And at 60 miles an hour, they would go through the field with all the bumps and everything else, and it would never take its mark off of the target. It automatically adjusted as it traveled. So it was always on target every second. It's an impressive machine. When I think about that tank, I think about the wars that have been fought, and the Iraq army had considerable array of tanks, and mostly they were purchased from former Soviet unions, and these tanks were widely regarded as clearly inferior to anything that the Abrams could do. They were outmatched. And so this morning I want to speak to you in the terms of spiritual warfare, that we have weapons that the devil cannot any way, shape, form, or fashion match. That are far greater than anything the devil could ever come up with. I had a friend of mine that was also there at Camp Shelby who was telling me about their qualifications. He was telling me, well, I got to go downrange this week and I got to qualify with the M16. And I said, really? I said, tell me about that. And Jay is pretty interesting. He was telling me in this qualification, if you will, to score as an expert, you had to hit a minimum of 36 bullseyes out of 40 shots. And it ranged anywhere from 55 yards to over 300 yards. So to be an expert, you had to be able to hit the bullseye a minimum of 36 out of 40 attempts without a scope. This was open sight. In other words, you had to know what you were doing. You to be an expert, you had to practice and you had to hone your skills. We need to hone our skills this morning. We need to know how to use the weapons that have been given to us. I've heard this said before that people say that they have no idea what types of weapons will be used in World War III. Seems like we're advancing and we're coming up with more and more destructive weapons and all. And so people are like, I have no idea what type of weapons will be used in World War III. But they say we know for certain. We know for certain if there's ever a World War IV, it'll be fought with sticks and stones. Because whatever happens in World War III will wipe it all out, right? That's how powerful the weapons will be. And I want you to understand this morning that we have weapons that are more powerful than any weapon that will ever be developed for World War III. Well, what are those weapons? Well, let's look this morning. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, he says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." In Isaiah 54 verse 17, says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 4, it says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And so the scriptures describe to us very powerful weapons that we have at our disposal to defeat the attacks of the enemy. And I want to just focus on three this morning. The first one is the name of God. Amen? The name of God. If you go back over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, there's a story there of a young man by the name of David. David was a young shepherd boy, but David had been anointed to be the next king of Israel. But he's not king yet. Saul's still king. And the Philistines come against the nation of Israel to fight them. And they bring out their best man, Goliath. And he comes out every day to challenge the Israelites. And none of the Israelites are brave enough to stand up to him. They're all hiding in their foxholes. And David comes along. His dad sends him out there to check on his brothers in battle. And David comes along and he's like, "What are y'all doing?" And they're like, "Well, this big giant guy out here challenges all of us every day. And we're all afraid to go." And he's like, "Wait a minute. We serve the God of Israel, right?" And so look at this passage. It says there in verse 45, "Then David said to the Philistine," he says, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you," what? "In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give it into our hands." We fight our battles in the name of the Lord. Amen? Man, we just speak the name of Jesus. Amen. And the demons flee. Man, we speak the name of Jesus and healing takes place. We speak the name of Jesus and our enemies are defeated. Listen, the interpretation here is that David did what he did for the glory of God. And David came to the contest not with a slingshot, but he came in the name of God. He may have had a slingshot and a stone in his hand, but I'm telling you, he had the name of God in his mouth. And that's what brought the victory. That's what gave him the victory. Now, apparently everyone else is intimidated by this giant. This giant was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He had a bronze helmet. He had a coat of scale armor weighing 5,000 shekels or about 125 pounds. He was armed with a bronze javelin and a long spear with a 15-pound iron tip on it. I mean, this was a bad dude, right? And David comes, and this giant says, "Am I a dog that you come out here with me with a little slingshot and a stone?" And David announced, "No, my real power is in the name of God. My real power is in the name of God." You know, throughout Scripture, a name is not just simply a label. Oftentimes, you know, when our children are born, we look at them and we try to come up with a name for them, and it's more of an identification, right? Well, in Scripture, names took on meaning. It identified. Think about Adam. God created Adam, created all the animals, and then he caused all the animals to walk by, and Adam named them. How did he come up with those names? He looked at them. And based on what they look like and their character, he gave them a name. So names in Scripture reveal characteristics of that individual. And throughout Scripture, the name of God is used so frequently by the heroes of the faith, by the saints, by the prophets, by those of men of old to describe who God is. The name Elohim, Elion, Adonijah, Elohim, it's the God, the one true eternal God. That's who he is. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my light. Some of you are walking in darkness this morning. You need to know the name of God. Not just a simple name, but you need to know him as Jehovah Ora. The Lord is my light. Some of you need to understand that he is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. You're never alone. He's always right there with you. Amen. Some of you want to know where God is this morning? He's there. Amen. He's there. Hey, he's Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner, my standard. He covers me. You need to understand this morning that whatever attacks you might be under, you have a God who covers you, a God who protects you. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts. He is Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. He is Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is my healer. Can I get a witness? Amen. He is Jehovah Sitkanu. The Lord is my righteousness. He is Jehovah Mekadeshim, the Lord who sanctifies me. Who is God? That's who God is. That's the God who is everything we need in every moment. It's important that we understand these, not just so that we can pass a Sunday school test. We need to understand these so that we can have success and victory in spiritual attacks. Look over in Acts chapter 16. In the book of Acts in the 16th chapter, verse 16. Now it happened as we went, Paul, with certain slave girl possessed of a spirit, divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, finally, she's walking around following. Paul gets enough of her and he says, "I command you," talking to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out at that very hour. He didn't say, "Hey, I'm Paul. You better quit bothering her." Wasn't about Paul, right? is, in fact, in the name of Jesus. It says, but when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them out into the marketplace to the authorities. But it was in the name of Jesus that power was over these demons. At the name of Jesus, every foe will be defeated. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and all those under the earth. At the name of Jesus. That's easy to amen this morning, right? Tomorrow morning when you get up and go to work, and your boss, the devil's going to influence, you just speak the name of Jesus, amen? Man, when stress comes in, hey, he's the God of peace, right? Man, when you feel like you're surrounded in darkness, he's the God of light, amen? You don't have to know all those fancy Hebrew words, but he's the God of light, right? When you feel like that you don't have all that you need, understand, he's the God who provides. Amen? He's the God who heals. He's the God we need. Amen? He's the God who gives us victory. Not only do we have the name of God at our disposal, we also have the Word of God at our disposal. Here in Ephesians, in the 17th verse, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, just in case you don't know what the sword of the Spirit is, which is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that we need. Now, in the context, this was a short little sword or a dagger. It was for kind of hand-to-hand combat. We need the Word of God this morning. And when the devil attacks us and he's up close and personal, we need to have the Word of God at our disposal. To fight him off, to defend him off, to defeat him. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Notice what he says there. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, your heart is easily deceived. Your heart can be divided. Your heart can even be dishonest with you. And so we need the Word of God to guide our heart and to guard our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7, he says, by the word of the truth, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of the righteous on the right hand and on the left hand. It's important for us to have the Word of God at our disposal. You see, I want you to understand this morning. The reason the preacher says you need to spend time in God's Word every morning is not just to check a block. I'm not just trying to get you to create some daily habits, okay? What I'm trying to do is I want you to spend ample time in God's Word so that you can have at your disposal the Word of God when Satan attacks you. Some of you don't understand. What I want is I want you to have ample knowledge of the Word of God so that you can have it at your disposal so that when Satan attacks you, you can defeat him by the Word of God. A couple more catching on. A couple more hours, you'll all be there, right? It's important that we understand the Word of God. The ability to quote the Word in occasion gives us strength. God's Word is genuine to us. It gives us this unlimited confidence that in every place and in every situation, we can take Scripture and apply to that and understand what the truth of the situation is. In Matthew chapter 4, right after Jesus is baptized, the Bible says that he was taken by the Spirit and went out into the wilderness. And for 40 days and 40 nights, didn't eat, didn't drink. And at the end of that 40 days of praying and fasting, the Bible says that the devil came to tempt him. And the devil said, well, let's try you out, buddy. If you really are who you said you are, if you really are the Son of God, why don't you take all these rocks out here? It's been 40 days since you've had anything to eat. Why don't you take some of these rocks out here and turn them into bread? And Jesus says, the Word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then he took him up you know, onto the temple. And he said, hey, so if you are who you said you are, why don't you just throw yourself down there? The Bible says that there are angels in charge of protecting. See how the devil take the Bible and twist it around? He said, the Bible says there's angels that'll protect you. And Jesus says, no, the Bible says we're not to tempt God. And then the devil took him up on a high mountain. Said, look at all of this. God's given me rule over all of this. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll let you have it all. And Jesus said, no, we're to worship the Lord our God and God alone. Where did Jesus get all those words? He got them out of Scripture. All those words can be found in the book of Deuteronomy. It's the word of God that he defeated the devil. Listen, we need to learn that we should study the Bible, that we may understand what the truth is. We should have text of scriptures that command, as Jesus did, to meet the different forms of temptation. Now listen, I'm not telling you that you need to know chapter and verse and all those kind of things. Man, there's a lot of scripture that I call to my mind that are favorite verses of mine, and I have to really kind of wait a minute, let me look that up to know exactly what chapter and what verse it is. But I know what the verse says. You see, that chapter and verse was added later just for reference. What's important is that you know the truth of that word. Okay? I'm just trying to encourage those of us that don't have as good a memory as others, right? And so to know the truth of that word. Listen, we should not depend on our own reason or rely on our own wisdom. Listen, a single text of Scripture is better to meet a temptation than all the philosophy that the world contains. The temper can reason, and reason can be plausible too, but we cannot resist a direct and positive command of God's word. If Eve had simply quoted Scripture to the devil, she wouldn't have got herself and Adam in a mess. But she began to try to reason and discuss, and the devil slipped in. I had a friend several years ago called me. He had a friend that was really going through some difficulties. They had lost a baby, and now they themselves were fighting cancer. And Bubba called me and he said, hey man, he said, I need some scripture to share with this individual. It's hard. This is not on the screen, but I want to just read this to you. Psalms 9 and verse 9 says this, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Real life comes at us. Christians get cancer. Christians get divorced. Christians have car wrecks. Christians have kids that come to be teenagers. Christians lose their jobs. Christians get sick. Christians face the same things in life that everybody else faces. The difference is we put our trust through the Word of God in the name of God. Amen? There's some folks that need that today, right? To know that no matter how dark and how painful the times can be, we have a God who can still win the battle for us. Amen? And so we have the name of God at our disposal. We have the Word of God at our disposal. And I think maybe the most powerful of all, we have the blood of God at our disposal. Listen to what the Bible says in Revelation 12 and verse 1. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they do not love their lives to death. Here is the reason why followers of Jesus can prevail at this time against any and every adversary. It's because they had fought against the dragon with the arsenal of God. They had overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by proclaiming here salvation to sinners through Christ crucified, buried, and rose again, by their intercession at the throne of grace on behalf of those who were struggling. Here's what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 15. Look at this verse. He says, having disarmed, who do we fight against? Powers and principalities and rulers of darkness, right? Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them in it. What is the it? It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us that victory. He had plundered them through the blood of Christ. Listen, our last enemy, our enemy's last weapon, death, has been defeated. Here's a great verse in Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 15. He says, and release those through whose fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Man's greatest fear is dying. Now, I would be less than honest if I told you that I wasn't afraid to die. And in some sense, I'm really not afraid to die. I know where I'm going. I just don't want to get sick in the process, right? You know? I just want to die and go to heaven, right? I don't want to know about it just while I'm asleep or something, you know? But death is our last enemy. It's the last weapon of our enemy. And the blood of Jesus has defeated death. Amen? Somebody needs to get excited. Praise God this morning that we can come in this time. Listen, the dread of death, He came to free us from that. The dread of death has been taken away and they are delivered from it because the cause of the dread of death, sin, has been removed. What I've taken my heart is this morning, and I want to get personal here for a second. Listen, Doris was not defeated by cancer. She was victorious in the blood of Jesus. Listen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to miss her. She wouldn't want to leave heaven for nothing. But she wants to make sure you come along and meet her there. She wants to know that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says this in verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we have a victory in the name of God and through the Word of God and by the blood of God. Amen? In some reading I was doing, the author pointed this out. He said, a Christian has nothing to fear in death, nothing beyond the grave. In no part of the universe has he anything to dread, for God is his friend and he will be his protector everywhere. On the dying bed, in the grave, on the way up to judgment, at the solemn tribunal, and in the eternal world, he is under the eye and the protection of his Savior. And of what should be, and what should he be afraid? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Man, I thank God this morning that we have nothing to fear because we've been given weapons to defeat whatever the enemy may come up against us with. Amen. You know, the military has a sense of humor. If you've ever sat and talked with guys who've been in the military, they can tell you some funny stories. It's a sense of humor, I think, that helps them survive. And some guys were telling me about this, that even on the weapons, they have instructions. It's kind of, I don't know, paradoxical why they would put instructions on weapons for men, because we don't read instructions, right? But nevertheless, they put instructions on them. And they said one of the funny instructions on one of them is on a rocket launcher. And on the instructions, it says this: aim towards the enemy. Kind of goes without saying, right? What I'm trying to impress upon your heart this morning is, you take the name of God, and you take the Word of God, and you take the blood of God, and you aim it square at the enemy, and you win the victory. Amen? Amen. Father God, this morning, God, I thank you this morning that, God, though we find ourselves under attack, God, you've armed us with weapons to defeat Satan. And I pray, God, this morning for the individuals that are in this room right now, and those that are listening, those that are watching, God, those that are under attack in this very moment, God, I speak the name of Jesus over. And I pray, God, that they would call out to the name of Jesus in this moment. God, I pray that you would fill them with the promises of your word and the power of your word today. And I pray, God, that you would cover them with the blood of Jesus. And God, that today they can realize victory. God, there's folks this morning who have never put their trust and faith in you. And I pray, God, this morning that they would know that there's a God who loves them, that you love them unconditionally, that you love them steadfastly, that you love them everlastingly. And God, this morning, that they would simply give up all that they understand about themselves to all that they understand about Christ Jesus. God, today, they would just surrender their life to you. And God, that they would just, again, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray this morning that your word would comfort. I pray, God, this morning that your blood would cleanse. And Father, today, that you would do what only you can do in each and every heart. And Father, we'll always be sure to give you the praise, glory, and honor. We love you, Father, and we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might even be thinking, I don't even know how to go about doing that. If you'll just step out from where you're at, make your way forward, say, Pastor, today, all I know is I need Jesus. And we've got folks that'll pray with you and help you come to know Christ as your Savior. Would you just simply come this morning? Maybe your church membership is somewhere else. And we'd love to have you come and be a part of our army right here, right? So that we can all be together to help protect and pray for one another, bear one another's burdens. We invite you to come. Maybe this morning you want to just come to the altar. Come to the altar and pray. Pray the name of Jesus over whatever the enemy is doing in your life. However God leads you, you come this morning. As we stand and as we sing, you come right now.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength and need is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone. Can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
just make you aware of a couple of things that are going on around here this week and in the next few weeks and months. On the back of your worship guide, I'm looking. I don't see them. We have our prayer time and Wednesday services. Tonight, 5 o'clock, we have our small groups that meet. And so I invite you to come, encourage you to come and get into a small group. Have discussions. Have discussions about life and how do we pray through these situations and how do we share our faith with others. And so I encourage you to come and be a part of that. Also, we've got a couple of things that are going on, a couple of Saturdays of coming up. Saturday, October the 11th, we're participating in a community-wide picnic. Noon on that Saturday at the city park over by the pool, and it'll be a joint time for all of our churches, our African-American churches and us, and it's a racial reconciliation picnic, and so invite you to come be a part of that. Our very own Mitch will be helping cook that day and everything, and so that's always worth the trip out there anyway, and so come be a part of that. The following Saturday, we're going to actually be cooking chicken again and going to be giving out to our firefighters, appreciation to our firefighters here. And so I want to be a part of that. And then the Saturday after that, it's going to be, we're going to be putting out, we'll get some more information out. It'll be church-wide, man. We're going to have cookout, have some games for the kids and all those kind of things. That's later in October, actually, I think. And so look forward to that and make sure that you listen up for further announcements, okay? Did I miss anything? I'm not good at announcements, so I always forget, man. Get my mind on preaching, forget about these other things.
Miss Jeannie's got something back there.
Yes, just to be mindful for those that may not have heard of services for Doris Hopkins will be here at the church Tuesday. Visitation will start at 10 and then the services will be at noon. So make sure you put that on your calendar as well. Okay. All right. Hey, it's been a good morning. It's been a good time to be in worship this morning. What are we going to sing this morning?
Power in the blood.
Power in the blood. Let's do that. Hey, let's continue to worship this morning. Okay. Let's do that.
Burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, 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 wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Y'all have a blessed week.